Verse number one, appreciate all of you folks coming this morning. A lot of folks are very upset right now, including this preacher, so that's just a natural feeling. I guarantee it. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the infallible text says this, Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Chapter 4, verse 3 says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. And so the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy what to expect in the last days. I firmly believe that we're in the last days.
Amen.
As all of you know, September the 11th will forever be ingrained in the history of the United States of America as a day like Pearl Harbor when this nation was attacked. Four hijacked airplanes, passenger airliners with people aboard. Two of them were used to attack the World Trade Centers. One of them was used to attack the Pentagon. And one, apparently its attack was foiled in Pennsylvania and was crashed somewhere in the countryside there. But the ensuing fall of those two trade towers, as I watched them come down, my mind simply rejected what I was seeing. I could not believe what I was watching. That was such a horrific sight that I simply turned away from it and said to myself, this cannot be happening before my very eyes, and yet it did. And while it happened, of course, thousands of people died right before your very eyes. Thousands of your fellow citizens of the United States of America died before your very eyes. At this moment, thousands of bodies lie in ruins in West Southern Manhattan as they dig to try to find any survivors from this heinous attack by barbarians on the United States of America. We also learned from the FBI that the perpetrators of this terrorist act had targeted Air Force One. They had also targeted the White House. And so, my friend, for just a moment this morning, I want you to think solemnly about what could have happened. At this moment, the President of the United States of America could be dead. The White House could be in ruins. The Pentagon, the two World Trade Towers, and Lord only knows what else that these people had in mind. And all of this that we could be standing here this morning thinking about and be facing, that some foreign power had attacked our nation. And then a lot of people asking themselves the question this morning, why did this happen? Why did this happen to our nation? What have we done to these people? And of course, that would be a good question that a lot of people would ask that aren't up with what's going on in the world right now. But the bottom line is, I want you to think for a moment, one more time, that the President of the United States of America could be dead. The White House could be lying in ruins. The Pentagon has been attacked. The two World Trade Towers have fallen. Thousands of people are dead. Imagine the shock in this country if the passage of power had been handed to the Vice President, and he would be leading you into war instead of the President. There might even be a vacuum of power in the country, and there might even be a problem with that. Because there's no problem now with our president leading this nation into war. But it would be a psychological effect that it would have upon the nation to think that they could kill our president, destroy the White House, bring down these two towers, and attack the very heart of our military complex, the Pentagon. Somebody knows what they're doing. You're not fooling with a bunch of wild Arab fanatics out here somewhere, strapping bombs to their bodies and blowing people up in the squares like they have been over there in Israel, willing to give their lives in doing that. You are dealing with a well-financed, well-organized bunch of murderers. My friend, what's going on? What's going on? You've got to ask yourself that question. I'll give you two scenarios. Number one, they did this to humiliate the United States of America. They did it to show us how vulnerable we are. And at any time they can come into this nation and they can strike us at will. Right now, there are 30 to 50 people in this nation that are directly affected with attacks to these terrorists, whether it's Osama bin Laden, whoever it is. 30 to 50 people are awaiting orders right now in the United States of America to attack vulnerable targets throughout this nation, and Oak Ridge probably is one of them. They're waiting orders right now to do this. This is what's been handed down through the wires. I've read it on the intelligence services. Debka file is one that deals with Israeli intelligence. And this is on the Internet, and it's not coming from some wild, crazy source. But the people are already in this country. One of them even went to the American War College, and they say that a number of them have infiltrated the military in this country. And so, my friend, this is why they are so worried in the near future that another terrorist attack is going to take place. They don't know what, they don't know when, they don't know how, they don't know where. And the FBI and the CIA are working overtime to do what they can. I tell you that for simply for the fact that you need to know. We all need to know. Because you need to go about your life, you've got to go to your jobs, you've got to carry on with your life, but you've got to carry on with your life and your jobs in a different manner than you ever have in your life. You've never seen anything like this happen in your life. Nothing like this has ever happened in my lifetime. America's vulnerability has been made plain on the stage of the world, that we can be attacked. We have been attacked. Thousands of people are dead, and they may do it again. Scenario number two. And this is even more scary. That is that they came to this country and they attacked the financial center, they attacked the military complex because they intend to take over the United States government and bring America into an Islamic state. And they are a bunch of religious fanatics that are driven by one goal, and that is that the entire world will yield to Islam. Yielding to Islam makes one a Muslim. A Muslim is one that will take off his shoes and go into a mosque and get on his knees and pray to Allah. Once he does that, he has submitted to Islam. Islam is the religion of Saudi Arabia. It's the religion of Afghanistan. It's the religion of Syria. It's the religion of Iran. It's the religion of Egypt. It's the religion of a number of Muslim countries. And my friend, their purpose, and I believe it and make no mistake about it, is to bring down the United States of America and turn it into a fanatical Islamic country. In Afghanistan right now, they are trying Christian missionaries for preaching the gospel. Hit by the Taliban. In the Sudan, they have been crucifying Christians for decades. In Saudi Arabia, if you dare preach the gospel to somebody, they'll throw you in prison. Now, what I'm telling you this morning is a clear fact. It's not conjecture. This is the way it is in Muslim-controlled countries. I am not up here this morning to attack Muslims. I'm up here as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Any country on the face of this earth, I don't care where it is, where a fanatical Muslim majority takes control, there's only going to be one religion in that country. And these are the people that came over here and bombed the United States of America. I believe in my soul that it is a genuine effort on their part that has been started to take over this country in time, whenever, however they plan to do it, but make no mistake about it, everybody in here this morning is awake to the fact that thousands of people are dead right now. There's no doubt about that. They mean business. Now, let's look at the Bible position on this. A lot of people go around, they say, well, now, preacher, what should a Christian do? If the Bible says if they smite you on one cheek, that you're supposed to turn the other. And so what are we supposed to do at a time like this? Are we supposed to just stand back and let them come in and take our country? In 1964, I stood down here on Alcoa Highway before a lieutenant colonel. I raised my hand and said, I pledge, I swear, I will uphold the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. I swore allegiance to this nation, and I was ushered into the United States Marine Corps. I served under that flag for 4 years. I saluted that flag many times. I went in there ready to fight against any enemy of this flag. Why? Because this country has given me more liberty than any country on the face of this earth could give anybody. America's got its problems. Make no mistake about that. It's got all kinds of problems. You get 260 million people in one place, you're going to have all kinds of problems. But I'm going to tell you something. In spite of all of that, the United States of America is the greatest nation on the face of this earth. May God bless America. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else right now. I want to bring out to you what the Bible says about our attitude towards something like what's happening right now. In the book of Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 39, it says this, I say to you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. This is said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 by the king preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jewish people. He's offering them the kingdom. He's giving them the rules and the regulations of the kingdom. But the same Christ said this in John chapter number 16, chapter 18, rather, in verse 36. John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom from not from thence. The Lord Jesus made it plain that there would be a time when they would draw the sword and they would use it in His name. My friend, you've got to compare Scripture with Scripture. If you don't, you get in big trouble. There's a lot of people that are pacifists in the name of Christ, and they will not go to war. They're like the mad dog that comes to your house, and he's got your wife and your children, and he's about to take them by the throat, and he's about to kill them. Would you let that mad dog take your children by the throat and your wife by the throat? Well, let me tell you something. A mad dog has come to America. A religious mad dog. A mad dog is after your children, and he's after your wife, and he does not discriminate. It makes no difference to him whatsoever. He came over here, and he flew into a trade tower, and he was after civilians. He was not after a military target. He was trying to kill civilians, unarmed, innocent civilians. That is the animal that you're dealing with, and he's a religious fanatic. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 13, verse number 4, For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Who is? The governor, that's who. The government, the one who governs over you. The highest governor in this country is the President of the United States. In verse number 4, he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. The sword is that weapon that the United States government bears. And God says that you must have civility. You must have government. You must have someone who answers the mad dogs that come and kill your children and your wives. Somebody's got to stand up against the mad dogs that come over here and kill innocent people. Do you have any idea how many of your brothers and sisters died in those trade towers? Or up there at the Pentagon? Or on these four airplanes that went down at the hands of these murderers? One of the murderers handed a cell phone to one of the people on board the plane and said, Call your loved ones up and tell them you're about to die. He mocked them. He mocked them right out of their face. They think they're invulnerable because they're willing to give their life for what they believe in. They believe that the moment they die, they're going to be ushered off immediately into heaven. Now, tonight I can't preach a message about Islam this morning. Tonight we'll deal with prophecy in Islam. But this morning I just want you to understand that a fanatical Islamic Muslim will kill you in a heartbeat and cut your heart out in the name of Allah. And if you don't know that, it's because you're naive. America right now is a very hard place for liberals, bleeding heart liberals. For those, my friend, who don't believe in guns and don't believe in this sort of thing, somebody better have some guns. And you better be ready. Because it's not a matter of if it happens, it's already happened. It's not a matter of if you're going to go to war, folks. They've already landed the troops. You are at war. They declared war on us. Now, is this going to cause me to lose my faith in God? No. Does this change me as being a Christian? No, sir. Does this change anything about what I believe about the Bible? Absolutely not. Nothing has been changed. I've seen this coming for a long time. I knew in order for the Antichrist to rise, there had to be a war somewhere. And that war, my friend, is happening right now. I don't know how big it'll get. That's another issue. But make no mistake about what kind of war it is. And this is important. Get a hold of this right now. This is what the news media is failing to tell the American people. This is a religious war. It is completely religious. If you were a Muslim, they'd be all right with him. It's not so much the American. It is the fact that you stand for the gospel of the Son of God, and they despise this country. two reasons why they came and bombed America. Reason number one is because they call us the great Satan, and they say that we're the head of it, and they call us this ungodly hellhole over here on this side of the ocean. And so therefore, they have a name for us, and they can condemn us and kill us at will because they have demonized us. So therefore, they hate America. They hate you. Reason number two that they've come to our shores and bombed our buildings is because we support Israel. We support that nation, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We support them, and I'll support them till I die. I will not turn my back on the children of Israel. I believe that's a fulfillment of prophecy. They're there because God planted them there, and I want God on my side. Amen. Israel has been dealing with this for decades. From May 14th, 1948 to the present, they fought one war after another. My friend, if anybody knows terrorism, it's Israel. And I've watched the last few weeks on the internet. I've looked at those kids that got blown up out there next to the Mediterranean. I've looked at the body parts scattered all over the place from inside that restaurant the other day where Randy Bain was saved by the providence of God. I've seen what's happened to these people. I've watched them go on and carry on and carry on. And I've looked at those condescending outfit in America judging Israel for what they've had to deal with. And now the tone is completely changed. America has felt the sword. They've tasted the blood of their own people. They know what it is to suffer at the hands of a terrorist. And something's got to give. Now the prophetic implications. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12. In Zechariah chapter number 12, we read these words. The book of Zechariah, chapter 12, and verse number 6. The Bible says, I will make in that day the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood. And then he said, like a torch of fire in a sheath, and they shall devour all the people round about. God said that I'm about to turn Israel, this one little nation, this one small insignificant country, into a very firebrand of God. In Zechariah chapter number 12 and verse 2, he says this, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. In verse 3, in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Listen, if you had been alive in 1850 and you had known the scriptures, you would have said to yourself, there's nothing over there burdening anybody. In 1850, you would have said, that place is nothing but a desert. There's a few Arabs and Jews over there. What significance could it possibly have to the world? It has all significance today. For in May the 14th, 1948, when it became a nation state, it immediately fulfilled prophecy. And I've got their books of 125 years ago. The men of God that believed the Bible, they all said this. They said Israel must become a nation again. They've got to become a nation again. And friend, it happened exactly the way they said it would. And the Antichrist must rise. And the world must take his mark. And we're drawing nigh to it every day. Every single day that we live, things are happening. The Bible said in the book of Daniel, chapter number 8 and verse 25, that by peace he shall destroy many. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, it says that he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Peace, covenant, times of peace, covenant signed. What precipitates that? War. What brings about peace treaties? War. And folks, please understand me. War is not future. War's here today. That's why you're here this morning. It's because deep in your gut, you know something big has happened. Now, with the grace of God today, I want to talk about what God can do about it. Amen. There's an urgent need right now. Very urgent. Listen to the Prime Minister of Great Britain. This war opens up the potential for nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. He said, when addressing Parliament on Friday, September the 14th, he noted the dangers the West faces from terror attacks could include nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. Nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, and biological weapons. Are you trying to scare us, preacher? No. Simply warning. Knowledge. The Bible said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've entered into a death and life struggle. We've entered into a situation that the Bible has warned us about for decades. And people go about every day as if nothing's going to happen. I mean, we've really had a big time. Things as usual. We're always going to live after the flesh. It's always going to be a time of prosperity in America. Everything's got to go as it has. We're just having one big ball over here. And Tuesday morning, friend, when thousands of people in New York went to work, they didn't have the slightest idea that that would be the last day on earth for them. Their life would end quickly, snuffed out in a moment. My friend, somebody said, well, preacher, that was the judgment of God upon America. I'd rather say it is the judgment of Satan. For God withholdeth, he letteth, he holds back. And my friend, he's holding still. And when he ever turns his hand loose, the devil will have a field day. Don't you know that he would kill you in a moment if he could? This is the age of grace. This is the hour when God sits on a throne of grace and glory. He extends an olive branch to you. He's saying to you, listen, wake up. I'll still save your soul. I'll still forgive your sins. I'll still make you right with God. That olive branch is extended. But the day is going to come when he pulls his hand back and the extension of grace is cut off and mercy's no longer preached and death and destruction rain down unbelievably upon this country and upon the world. What do you see it as, preacher? I see it as a wake-up call. I see it as a wake-up call. America's telephone rang Tuesday morning. It got an email message from heaven. It got a note from glory. God got our attention. Did he do that? No, I'm not saying he did that. But boy, can he use it. That's what you're worried about now. Some of you might have known people who died in that. You might be personally acquainted with people. And I'll tell you right now, probably on this earth, there is no sadder thing than those thousands of people up there in New York that are wanting some information about mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and family members. Over 300 New York firemen died going up into that tower to try to save somebody. That's bravery. For they knew that was a hell hole. They knew it was on fire. They knew it had been bombed. And yet they went up into that tower to try to save someone. That's bravery. I would that the church of God would display that kind of bravery. I would that we had that kind of courage. I would that we would say to men and women, the end is coming. I don't know how far it is. I'm not here to tell you that tomorrow is the last day. No man knows that. But I'm here to tell you today, it's not going to go much longer. I believe we're coming nigh. I believe it's about here. Tony Blair, British Prime Minister, says, we'll stand with you, America. We'll stand with you. The President of the United States has sent out across this world one question. One question. Are you for us or are you against us? That's the kind of talk of a leader. That's the kind of talk of a man we need to pray for. You need to pray for George W. Bush. You need to get him before God and say, Lord, give this man wisdom. He's leading our nation. I'll tell you something. My blood is boiling. My soul has been stirred. I'm ready to go to war if I have to. I'll fight in a heartbeat if it's protect my family. The Bible says if a man won't protect his family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Do I want blood? No. Do I take pleasure in killing? No. But I'll kill you before you kill us. In World War I, an old boy out of the mountains named Alvin York, one of the finest shots this earth ever produced, he saw you, he could hit you. He had you in his crosshairs, you're dead. But Alvin York was a conscientious objector. He didn't understand what I preached to you this morning. He didn't believe that he could take somebody else's life. And so the war started. He found out how many were dying, and he prayed about it, and he went up into the mountains, and he got alone with God. He went in, and they said, "Why are you killing? You are a conscientious objector. Why are you in here?" He said, "Well, sir, the way I see it, if I can stop him, I can save them. If I can stop that one, I can save more here. In other words, I can save lives by taking lives." And I think that ought to be our principle. We're not out to destroy man. If you're out to destroy man, you don't know what spirit you're of. Jesus Christ said, "I come to give my life for a ransom." Amen. I didn't come into this world and preach the gospel to kill people. But make no mistake about it, mad dogs come, we'll shoot them. We'll kill them. We'll stop them. We're going to save those. Amen. I'm going to tell you another reason I'm going to fight. I'll tell you a good reason why I want to fight. I want my grandbabies to grow up under the cross and not the crescent. I want them to grow up under the grace of God and not in a mosque. You say, "I don't see the difference, even, and you don't know the Lord." There's a big difference. Amen. For it's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You say, "Well, I've got a lot of Muslims that are good people and they're my friends." That's fine. And as long as they're good American citizens, they live under the laws of America. They're treated with the same respect of America. Amen. I believe everybody in this building feels that way. We're not going out here to kill Muslims. But I'll tell you right now, I want my babies, I want my posterity, I want those that follow me to grow up hearing about Jesus. I want them to hear the gospel for the grace of God. I want them to be saved. I want them to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want them to know the truth of the Word of God. Amen. My friend, if there wasn't a difference between me and a Muslim, what in the thunder am I doing up here now? If there's no difference in us and a Muslim, what is this? I'm not ecumenical. I think you found that out. There's some dangers I see arising, too. Great dangers arising. Great dangers. We'll deal with that tonight. There's some great dangers arising. Great dangers. You young men, if you're called on to put on a uniform and raise that hand and swear allegiance to that flag right there, raise it and swear it. If they want to put you off out there on the battlefield and give you a weapon, you take that weapon and you go fight. You fight with honor. You fight for the name of the Lord God and for the freedom to preach His gospel. For what that standard stands for. It stands for liberty. That's the flag of Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln. That's the flag of Old Glory. Stars and stripes. It's the country of freedom. The land of the free and the home of the brave. America's been pulled together like it never has. And it's good. And the news media doesn't like a lot of it. That's too bad. It's taking their power away. Giving it to the people again. So I'll tell you right now, if you're called on it, you may be. Because listen to this. Some world leaders fear that U.S. reprisals, almost certainly, somewhere in the Muslim world, will further polarize Middle Eastern conflicts. Senior U.S. officials have previously spoken of the Israeli-Palestinian violence and the struggle to contain Iraq merging into a single fireball. Now some fear a slide towards a religious war, with Islamic countries on one side and the mainly Christian West on the other. It becomes a religious war between Islam and Western culture, Western civilization. They hate that at Berkeley. The other day, those professors over there, those communists, radical professors at Berkeley, they didn't like what's going on. I got one word for them. They ought to thank God for a country that'll let them teach what they teach. You think the Taliban would let those professors at Berkeley teach their communism? No. You think they could teach in Iraq? No. And I think maybe they need to wake up and realize it's because of the United States of America that I could have gotten up here for 8 years and talked about slick. For 8 years I let him have it from the pulpit. The night police never showed up at my door one time. The Gestapo never questioned me one time. Not one time was I ever censored. 8 years I got up here and spoke my mind. How about a fornicator in the White House? My brother, the story changed. They put a man up there that prays. They've got a man up there now that asked you to pray for him. And that's what I've been doing. And that's what you've been hearing from me. Well, I thank God for a country that'll let you get up and say something like that. You won't do it in Saudi Arabia. You won't do it in Iran. You won't do it in there. And I've been privileged to travel around the globe. While in the Marine Corps, I saw an awful lot. And then I've been taking trips to the Holy Land. I've been over there 6 times now. And I've seen a lot. And I'm going to tell you something. When I walk back to America and put my foot back on its soil, I'm home again. Back in my country. My country. It's my country. You Muslim murderers, you fired on my flank. It's my country. Amen. You feel the same way? We'll close with this. 14 September, Debka file. Intelligence sources report that Islamic militants under the command of Saudi multimillionaire terrorist Osama bin Laden, the radical Egyptian jihadi Islami Iraqi military intelligence and other Mideast groups, stand poised for a second wave of horrendous attacks in America. An estimated 30 to 50 suicide killers are waiting inside the U.S. for their orders to strike. This time, while again aiming for the U.S. president, Peter Jennings the other day was making his snide remarks. Making his snide remarks about, where's the president? You don't need to know, Peter. I don't need to know. All I want to know is he safe? You don't have to tell Preacher Lawson where he is. Just keep him safe. This time, while again aiming for the U.S. president, the White House, and Capitol Hill, they will also go for a broad spectrum of what they consider strategic targets, such as airports, oil fields, oil installations, sensitive military and intelligence facilities, 30 miles from us, warships and carriers. The last were indeed ordered out to sea shortly after the first assaults on Tuesday. First thing to happen were those warships left port. They got away. They got out there. That's what they did in Pearl Harbor. What few they got out. They got away. They got out there where they couldn't call, come on board. They got out to sea. Aware that flushing out the terrorists in waiting, many of whom may be U.S. nationals, is akin to finding a needle in a haystack. U.S. leaders quickly resorted to a shortcut. 2 days ago, they turned to a number of world leaders, including Europeans, the Russian president, and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. That's the lion over there in Jerusalem. To request the pooling of intelligence. They were asked to share every scrap of information that in international terror movements, they had on international terror movements in support of the U.S. effort to eradicate the blight. Quick cross-checking between the services strongly confirmed the second wave thesis. It has kept U.S. security services at the highest level of suspense they have ever known. Therefore, the FBI's dragnet on the trail of the conspiracy behind the deadly airliner suicide attacks on America are moving so fast so that the country is not caught off guard again. U.S. security authorities are concerned to strengthen the two lines of defense against terrorist attack, the first line barrier advanced intelligence, the second line defense security. Both broke down when New York landmarked the World Trade Center and the America's Military Nerve Center, the Pentagon in Washington, were crushingly assaulted by suicidal terrorists last Tuesday. They may stop them. I hope they do. I hope there's not a second wave. I hope they stop them. I hope they get them. I hope they get them. I hope they get every one of them. I hope they get every last one of them before they blow up anybody else in America. Are you ready to go up? I don't know what else to say. And there's no more that can be done. It's ready. It's here. Are you ready with God? Oh, what a sad thing when you think about the people at the New York Trade Towers. How many of them weren't ready to meet God? And those 266 people aboard those four airliners. How many of them were not ready to meet God? How many? Are you ready to meet Him? You may wake up tomorrow morning to the news broadcast of a nuclear explosion in this country. Or you may wake up to a broadcast of people dying like they did over there in Japan. You remember when they used that stuff over there in Japan? Sarin? They used sarin over there in their tunnels? What do you call them? But they use them over there, and it could happen here.
That's right.
You think, ask yourself one simple question. Do you think the people who blew up those two trade towers with those airplanes using innocent civilians as bombs, as guided missiles, do you think they would stop and not use nuclear weapons,
no.
chemical or biological?
No.
They'll kill you any way they can. And you may become a victim. If you're not right with God, you'll be a victim twice.
Right.
A victim here and you'll be a victim in hell.
Right. Right.
Don't let it happen to you. You can come today and be saved. You can be ready to meet God. You can be ready. I may walk out this afternoon and some crazed fanatic start killing, shooting, and I may be one of the victims. But if I don't see you tonight, I'll see you in glory. I know whom I have believed. I know where I'm going. And that's not a boasting brag. That's a firm assurance. I know him. Do you know him? Let's bow your head for a moment. Father, I've delivered my soul, Lord. Both as a patriot, Father, and as a Christian. You know me. We're living in America. It's our country. Lord, we don't condone the sins of America. God, we know there's much wrong with America. But our Heavenly Father, there's also much right about America. And Lord, I believe you gave us this great country to get the gospel out. You gave us this great country to show men what freedom is. I believe you've blessed America. And I believe God has blessed America. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you I was born in this country. But my Heavenly Father, I'm also a Christian, Lord. I know you as my Father and as my Lord and my God. And I pray this morning if there's anybody in this place that does not know you as their Father and their God and their Lord and their Savior, that this would be the day that they'd simply by faith bow before God and say, Lord God, I'm lost without God and I want Jesus to be my Savior. And oh, how the Son of God desires to save the sinner. I pray in Jesus' name now, let the sweet Holy Ghost do His work. I'm through. I'm finished. I've said all I can say. It's now in your hands, Lord God, and I'll bless you for it and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.